Now, let me just close with a few thoughts, about 40 minutes worth. No, I'm just kidding. See, now, I bind that in Jesus' name. That was a lie. That was a lie. You see, we talk a lot of lies. We speak a lot of lies and don't even know it. We think it's funny. Well, no, you don't really. Let me just, you know, I'm going to share this. I'm going to interject this in the message. I was meditating on that scripture. I think it's in Proverbs that says, "Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee." I looked up the word froward. It means distorted and crooked. And I said, how does that apply to words? And then I looked it up in the dictionary, and the example was, the media often distorts the truth. That's distorting. Perverse had to do with the word crooked, which means, comes from a Greek word that means to twist. Anybody having ever had anybody twist their words on you? What is spinning? Putting a spin on something. Yeah. There is another scripture, and I don't have time to go into it. I'm just going to touch on this for a second. It's over in Ephesians chapter 5. Paul says, put away fornication. Put away uncleanness. Put away covetousness. Put away filthiness. And right after that, he says, foolish talk and jesting. In the same list with those things. Foolish talk means foolish talk. It means silly talk. And jesting, okay, comes from a word that means to humor, jest, and what's the word? Facetiousness. Yeah, actually the word facetious actually means to be humorous. And what's the other word? Humorous, to make a joke, you know. People will say, did you really mean that, or were you just being facetious? A lot of times when you're being facetious, you'll say something the opposite of what you mean. Did you really mean that, or were you just being facetious? It comes from a Latin word that's called, facetia. Facetia, a Latin word which means to jest or to have humor. That's all it means. It doesn't come from the word facet, many faceted, and it doesn't come from the word feces, which a lot of people think it does. It doesn't. It just means humorous and joking and jesting. So it's not really a bad word, in other words. But he puts these things in the same category as adultery and fornication. He puts it in the same category as uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness, then foolish jesting or silly talking and joking. See, it's nothing wrong with humor. I believe God's got a sense of humor, but you can overdo it. When you're overdoing it, when we get off into that, we say things that aren't true to be funny sometimes. A lot of the things, like the thing I asked Jenny the other day, I went in the room, you know, I said, you all right? She was coughing. You know, I said, you okay? She said, oh yeah, I just got a frog in my throat. I said, really? How'd you get there? Anyway, where were we? Okay. Our words have the power to set on fire the course of nature around us. And James says that out of the same mouth come blessing and cursing. He says, brethren, these things ought not so to be. So should we be speaking blessing and cursing? No. We should be speaking blessing only. And when it comes to death and life, we should be speaking good and not bad. We should be... Oh, man, I don't even know. I should throw these notes away. You know, the Bible says that ye may all prophesy. That means every one of you have got a certain measure of the gift of prophecy in you. So why are you saying bad things about yourself? Isn't that under the category of prophecy? I mean, are you prophesying over your own life? Oh, I just can't do that. I never was any good at that. You know, blah, blah, blah. There is a prophetic element there in our words. In fact, Kenneth Copeland wrote a book called You Are the Prophet of Your Life. I didn't understand what that meant. It means what you prophesy over your life. Anybody believe in declaring and decreeing? It's the same principle. So don't declare and decree things over your life that you don't want to happen. You've got that. The power of God lives in you. And the devil wants to take advantage of that too. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. We should be speaking life only and not death. Well, how do we do that? Remember, we talked about how there are two aspects of the bridle. One is that the bridle constrains and holds, and the other is that it sets direction. You constrain a horse with a bridle, but you also tell it which way to go. That's the real purpose, going somewhere. So how do we apply these two aspects of the bridle? First of all, we set a guard on our words. David asked the Lord to set a guard on his lips back in the Old Testament, but I don't even think that was the right thing. The Lord probably said, why don't you set a guard on him? I've given you the Holy Spirit. I've given you the gifts of the Spirit. One of those is temperance. Why don't you set a guard on it? Because you're the only one who can listen to what you're saying and determine whether it's right or wrong. Praise God. And so that's the first thing that we do here. Let's see. First of all, we guard over our words. Are we speaking truth with our words? Okay. Are we speaking blessing over people? Are we speaking cursing? Are we speaking blessing and life over ourselves? Or are we speaking cursing and death? You'll be amazed at what you'll hear yourself say if you just start listening. Because a lot of the things we say automatically without even thinking about it. I heard you say that the other day. I don't remember saying that. Well, you did. Because you were in neutral when you said it. Because it's so down deeply embedded in you. Anyway, like I said, it rained cats and dogs. I caught myself. No, it didn't rain cats and dogs. That was just a lie. Now, it was real cute and funny, but it was still a lie. Is a lie a sin? Is it a sin to lie? Well, did that statement hurt anybody? No. But it's still a lie. It wasn't the truth. And here's a question. Are we speaking lies just to illustrate something or to be funny? There you go back to that humor thing. Why not just speak the truth instead? The Bible says speak the truth in love. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Anything that beyond that comes of the evil one. Oh, it's getting quiet. Not too many words being spoke right now, praise God. Do we say things like, man, that just drives me out of my mind? I heard some guy say that the other day. Or, wow, that person's a real pain in the neck, or otherwise. Boy, these kids are about to eat us out of house and home. I guess Jenny said this one day. I said, why'd you do that? She said, I'm just a glutton for punishment, I guess. You didn't? You would tell, oh, you brought that up to me. That's right. You said, here's one, sweetie. I'm just a glutton for punishment. Why would we prophesy that over ourselves? I mean, I'm just, you know, because people say, you're just being silly now. You're being ridiculous with this. Or that scares me to death just thinking about it. I don't know how much we say. I mean, how much of this stuff are we saying? And the only way you're going to discover it is start listening to what you're saying. Start listening. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Dear Lord, that wasn't true. Or using what's called irony. In other words, saying the opposite of something. I saw this on TV. The guy was up there saying, yes. I'm not going to mention any names. Politician. We just want to see that all people in this country are treated fairly under the law. And I was sitting there watching that. I said, oh, yeah, we know you really want to do that. See, and that was a lie. I didn't know he really wanted to do that. I knew just the opposite. So, see, I had to say, when I caught myself, I shouldn't. Yeah, see, that's what, like the guy who was in the trial for murder, you know, and he said, well, we have five eyewitnesses that said they heard you say you murdered that person. And he said, I was just being ironic. I was just joking when I said that. Well, now you're in law getting ready to be convicted for it. So your words meant something, praise God. You may have just been joking. Anyway, praise God. Okay, that scares me to death just thinking about it. I didn't say that. I'm just reading. Is that speaking life or is it speaking death? It's speaking death. Every one of those statements is a lie. And there are hundreds of such cliches we say all the time. And see, if everything you say is a lie, when you start telling the truth, you won't believe yourself. Wait a minute. This is so so far from my baseline. I'm always lying. Now I'm telling the truth. It just doesn't feel right. Praise God. So if we're going to bridle the tongue, that's the first place to start. Put a watch on your lips. Let your ears hear what you're saying when you say it. Better yet, think about it before you say it. And don't let it come out. Jesus said that men, every man shall be judged for every idle word he speaks. Idle, empty, useless, non-producing words. They reap the increase of those idle words in this life. So are we blessing God and with the same tongue cursing men? That ought not be so. We need to bridle our tongue and let that not be so. The next time you want to say something bad about somebody in your conversation, you say, you don't like that person, do you? You know what they did the other day? They did something to you, didn't they? You know, short of sewing your lips together, just bite your lips. So it ought to be obvious we need to stop cursing ourselves by saying derogatory things about our own personal issues. Oh, that's just my luck. Every time I try to do this, I fail. Oh, I just can't seem to get ahead. Every time I get ahead a little bit, something breaks down. Praise God. Every time I get that paid for, something else breaks. It's just hard for a man to make it these days. I mean, that's normal routine language in our world. It's always something. That's right. Always something. You know, when I was working in Bassett Printing back in the, whenever that was, 80s, 70s. Anyway, when I was 25 years old, I mean, these guys, they always carry in the printing shop, you talk about people carrying all a bunch of garbage, silly talk, foolish talking and jesting. And, you know, there was this thing, we're 25 years old, and say, well, you know, this, I did this, and, well, you're getting old now, you're over the hill, aren't you? 25 years old, and you're over the hill. 25 years old, now I'm already talking old. Started talking old when we were 25 years old. And then kept on talking old and kept on talking old. I remember this story that Brother Hagin used to say many years ago. He's been gone a long time, but he talked about how he went and prayed for somebody. Pastor friend of his said, could you come over to my church and pray with one of my members? He's sick and in the bed in the hospital, you know. And so he said, well, when I'm in town, I will. He came over. So he finally came and went over and prayed with the pastor, this man, in the hospital for about an hour, mostly in tongues, and just prayed over the brother. And he said, you know, okay, we've prayed, but the Lord showed me something. The Lord said something to me while we were praying. He told this pastor, he said, spiritual law was set in motion many years ago, and it cannot be changed. And this pastor said, well, you know, the Lord said the very same thing to me. And he didn't know exactly what it meant, but he got to talking to the guy's brother, found out that when they were teenagers, said, my brother used to say, I'll not live past 40. I'll never live past 40. Teenagers. And he said that through the years, and he even talked to his mom. His mom was there too. He said, yeah, he did say that a lot. In fact, I heard him say it a couple of months ago, I won't live past 40. Here he is 4 months before his 40th birthday, dying in the hospital. Spiritual law was set in motion many years ago, and it can't be stopped. Sometimes you can't stop stuff with prayer. All right, we're moving right on now, praise God. The Bible says we may all prophesy. What are we prophesying over our life when we speak? You know, Elvis Presley, here's another story. I'm sorry, I'm just throwing my notes away here. Elvis Presley, his mother died in 1958. I think her name was Gladys, if I'm not mistaken. She died of a heart attack, 42 years old. And one of Elvis's girlfriend wrote this article that said that he knew he was going to die at age 42 because he believed his mother died at 42, so he was going to. And said he spoke it. He told her, I'm going to die at age 42. So how many times you reckon he said, I'm going to die at age 42? Did he just say it to that one person or did he say it a lot? You know, I don't know, but the thing was, he died at age 42.
And they
believed it. Saying he believed it. Yeah, he believed it. And so anyway, praise God. That's another example of how these things can accumulate over time. Just bear with me a little bit longer. We're going to talk some more about this. The second part of bridling the tongue has to do with setting the direction of our lives. Now, we talked about stopping saying the wrong things. Check yourself. Listen to yourself, what you're saying. Oh, that's not true. That's a lie. I just spoke a lie. Sure was funny, but it was a lie. Okay. That's the bridling of the tongue. The second part of it is setting the direction of our lives. And this is a good part right here. That's the other side of it, the real purpose of bridling the tongue. To get the horse to go somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Restraining and holding, it's good, but going somewhere is better.
Yes.
See, it only makes sense. If our tongue is like the bit of a horse's mouth or the rudder of a ship, the helm, or I can't remember exactly which word they used, then it stands to reason we must speak words to set the direction. I need to make time in my life to speak the right things. This is good stuff right here, so hang on. Hang on just a minute. We're going to get some good stuff here. What words are we supposed to speak? That's an easy one to answer for me. We're supposed to speak the promises of God. Now we're setting the direction of our life. God promised this, and I'm declaring it and speaking it. Let me ask a question. Should believers pray in the Spirit every day in tongues? How many do? Whoop, don't put your hand up. I don't want to know. Because a lot of people would have to lie to put their hand. Anyway, because I know sometimes it's easy to go for days and weeks without speaking in tongues. Now, we have a prayer meeting. We speak in tongues, you know. But just over a period of time, every day. Now, my son told me about a book. I shared this with you before, called Atomic Habits by a man named James Clear. And the subtitle is An Easy and Proven Way to Build Good Habits and Break Bad Ones. And the basic idea of this book, I read enough of it to know what the idea was. The idea, when he uses the word atomic, he's talking about small. The atom is the smallest thing that things are made of. So an atomic habit is a small habit that we start doing day by day over time. And he's talking about how doing a small thing over time affects your life, has a big impact over your life. It's not the big things you do, the small things you do every day. And I say, well, that makes sense. So I say, you know, I need to be praying in the Spirit every day. I may have shared this with you before. And, you know, I was already in the habit of having coffee every morning. I have a mug, it's about 16 ounces. I guess that's two cups of coffee in the first one. I said, what if I just pray in the Spirit while I'm having my first cup of coffee every morning? So I ended up doing that. I'm already drinking coffee. I'm just sitting there. Why don't I just do that too? And sure enough, I started doing it. It's been 3 or 4 months ago. And I've seen some phenomenal things happen in my life since I started doing that. Praying in tongues has an effect upon your life. There are things going on. You may not know what you're saying, but God knows what you're saying, and you're doing some things that are changing some things. I could give you a whole list of unusual things that have happened. I'm not going to take the time to do that, but it's an amazing thing. And now, the reason I said that, this principle also applies to other things. What about speaking the promises of God over my life? When am I going to take time to do that? Well, every once in a while, I'll get an urge to do that, and I'll go speak in tongues, and I'll speak the promises over my life. My God, you shall supply all my need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Do that for a couple of minutes, every two weeks. But see, if you develop a habit. So I decided to do this. I said, I'm going to get that habit going. On my way from home to the church every morning, I'm going to confess the promises of God over my life. I'm going to begin to take time to do that. I'm already driving to church. I'm already occupied in that. Why can't I add that on to it? And I began to do it. And, I've seen a huge thing. I could tell you stuff all day long, but I'd get off. Let me just stay with my notes here. I could tell you things about the favor of God that happen when you pray and you confess the favor of God. Let me get back onto the message here. You know, Abner Suarez invites Jerry Savelle to come each year at his place there in North Carolina. And I say that because Jerry Savelle has been saying for years that the favor of God is upon his life because he confesses it over his life. If I remember anything that Jerry Savelle has preached, it's that. The favor of God is on my life because I confess the favor of God. Hallelujah. He says when he speaks it and confesses it, then it happens. When he doesn't confess it, then it doesn't happen. You see, the promises of God in the Bible make up our promised land. This is the promised land that God has given us. It's the land that's full of his promises. Yeah, praise God. I thought I'd share that with you before, but anyway. But the promises, though they're here, they're not automatic. They require faith. They must be believed and received. How does faith come? By hearing. You hear yourself say the promise enough, you'll start believing it. Praise God. Now, remember the scripture I shared the last time I was teaching, Joshua 1:3. Joshua 1:3, the Lord is speaking to Joshua before they go in and take the land of Canaan. And he says to Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said unto Moses. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you. The Bible says these things were written for our example. Every promise that the soles of our feet tread upon, every promise of God that we take possession of, that we make our own, that he has given us. And it becomes a reality in our lives. The promises can be, this book can be full of promises, but until you possess them, until you lay hold of them, they're just potentially yours, potentially mine. And how do we do that? We do it with the tongue. We do it with the part of us that has the power of death and life and the power to set the direction of our life. See, Joshua had to go in and possess the land. It was potentially his, but he had to take it. I mean, all those silly enemies were there. Why were they there? I mean, he had to do something. See, that's what we need to do also. And it's true with salvation. You know, if you look at the scripture in Romans 10:10, it says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. See, we could have believed that all day long in our heart, but until we confess the Lord Jesus, until we received him, Lord, I receive you into my heart. Somebody's probably leading us in a sinner's prayer when that happened. But with our mouth, we accepted Christ. We received Christ. We could have believed all day that he rose from the dead, but until the mouth got involved, it wasn't a reality. That's the way it is with the promises of God. We believe it in our heart and we lay claim to it with our mouth. We say yes and amen to all the promises of God. And so, you know, I want to be specific about what I'm talking about here because I know that from doing this day by day for the last several months, I've seen God do things in my life, especially in the area of favor. Because I especially, and favor is one of the things I confess, you know, based on the scripture. Father, I thank you that I have favor because you, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor will you compass him as with a shield. I am compassed about with favor. I am blessed everywhere I go. People go out of their way to be good to me because I'm favored. Happens all the time. See, this is my confession. This is my confession. And I believe it. And I've seen it happen. I could tell you stories about good things happening to me since I started doing this. And so I said, I'm going to make this an everyday thing, not once in a while. So how do you do this? Let me just give you a couple of examples. And I'm talking about confessing the Word of God, confessing the promises of God, laying hold to them. You know they're there, but maybe you've never really made it personal. This is my promise. I am favored. I am favored of God and of men because you will bless the righteous With favor will you compass him. There shall no evil befall me, neither shall any sickness come near my dwelling. For you, Lord, will give your angels charge over me to keep me and guard me and protect me in all my comings and goings. Hallelujah. And then suddenly when you say that, it's like something on the inside quickens. Yeah, this is my promise. This is God's promise to me, not just the general public out there through his word. I'm taking possession of this. My feet are treading upon it. And so let me just give you an example how to do this. Now, I've got some confessions written down here. We'll confess them. I'll say them and you repeat them. And just see if you can kind of get in the spirit of what I'm talking about here. So just repeat after me. Thank you, Father, that I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. Thank you, Father, for your goodness, for your mercy. They follow me all the days of my life. I am blessed, blessed, blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, in Christ. I am surrounded with the favor of God. For you, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor will you compass him as with a shield. I have favor with God and with men. People go out of their way to be nice to me. It happens all the time. And I am blessed to be a blessing. Thank you, Father, that you lead me not into temptation, but you deliver me from evil. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. I am healed and healthy and strong. For Jesus Christ himself took my infirmities. He bare my sicknesses. By his stripes I was healed. Healing and health belong to me. I am youthful and energetic because you satisfy my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. I am more youthful every day. I am more youthful every day. I am more youthful every day. Glory to God. All my children are taught of the Lord. Great is the peace of my children. Thank you, Father, that my children and grandchildren are blessed of the Lord. The mercy of the Lord keeps them and guards them. They prosper in all they set their hand unto. And they walk in the ways and in the knowledge of the kingdom. I have wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of the truth. The Spirit of God lives in me. He is my comforter, my helper, the Spirit of truth, who nurtures me and guides me into all the truth. I get revelation all the time. The Spirit of God shows me the things of Jesus. I have the knowledge of God revealed by the Spirit, and it makes me free. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises in judgment against me shall be condemned. This is my heritage as the servant of the Lord, and my righteousness is of God. Because he that knew no sin was made to be sin for me, that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am the righteousness of God. And I seek first the kingdom of God and His right way of thinking. And all things are added to me. I am blessed with the blessing of the Lord, which makes me rich, and He adds no hard labor with it. I am blessed, blessed, blessed. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, if you believe that, give the Lord a little praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, let me ask you, do any of you believe that? Praise God, you believe it. Hallelujah. And see, by saying it like that, it quickens it within you. Yeah, this is what I believe. Why? Because the Bible said it. My God says it's mine. I have this promised land and I lay hold of it. Amen. Praise God. Come on now. So I want to encourage everybody to find a way to spend some time every day speaking these things over your lives. These and many, many other things. I think the Bible's gotten like over 1,200 promises in the Bible. You know, we need to search them out. What is our inheritance? It's right in here, and we can have all of it. So make it a solid habit. Praise God. You know, if you're trying to turn a big ship, and you know, that thing, it's called a helm, right? The wheel. You turn it a little bit, and it just doesn't look like this thing's turning. You know, it's such a big ship, man, I'm telling you, how can this have any effect? But you keep on turning, you keep on putting the pressure on it, and you turn that wheel, then eventually that big ship's going to turn around. That's the way this works right here. It's the same way with us. Our tongue is the rudder of our life. We put pressure on it to turn it in a different direction. These are the promises of God's word that we're speaking over our lives. They will have an effect on our life over time. Amen. Give the Lord some praise, will you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.